My message today
is talking about bringing people to God as they are. Bring people to God as they are. I know sometimes when we're out there in the world, we might encounter people and we might think, oh man, you know, sure like to bring that guy to Golden Heart, but, you know, I just don't think he would fit in. You know, he's doing all the wrong things. He's saying all the wrong things. Man, the way he acts just would be, you know, a problem. So I don't want him or them to come to Golden Heart. But we really need to know that God meets us where we are and raises us to a higher level. And it doesn't matter what the person's motives are for coming. It doesn't matter how they look or how they dress or how they speak when they come. God can transform them when His Spirit enters them. He can transform them and change them completely and totally once He gets in. And He just needs the chance because He wants to have that relationship with that person. So I want you to know, bring people to God as they are. Don't try to get them all, you know, changed, wearing the right stuff and speaking the right way before they come. Know that God will do that. We shouldn't be looking at Golden Heart or any church for that matter as some sort of exclusive club of perfect people who are walking with God because none of us are perfect. You know, we shouldn't be trying to pretend that we're perfect, but we do know we're walking with God. God is guiding us and He is perfecting us from the inside. And that happened after we came. You know, I look at this story of the prodigal son. Why did he come home? Let me tell that story if you don't know it. It's a parable that Jesus told. So I'll just kind of paraphrase the story so you know, you refreshes your memory. Then we're going to look at some of the finer points of that. But in this story, there's a father and he's got two sons. And the one younger son comes to him and says, "Dad, I'd like my inheritance." So the dad was like, okay. So he gave him out the money that was to his. And that son, he went off to a foreign country. He began to living prodigally, which means living the wild life, the good life. Man, he was probably gambling and he was spending and he was drinking and he was partying. He was having one heck of a blast with all that inheritance that he had got. And eventually he spent it all. And then a famine arose in the land. And he found himself wanting and not having. And he kind of bound himself to somebody else, probably somebody else that paid his debts for him. Now he had to work for them. And he was out there feeding the pigs, is what he got to do. And he was hungry. He was starving. He was thinking, man, these pigs are eating better than I am. And nobody was giving him anything. And while he was out there, he suddenly realized, whoa, in my father's house, the servants eat better than I'm eating. They eat really good. I should go home and tell my father, I'll just be one of his servants, and then I'll be able to eat good too. So he goes home. He heads home, and before he's still a long way off, the father sees him and has compassion, and he runs to him, and he embraces him. And he tells the servants, he says, go get the best robe. Go get the ring to put on his finger and put slippers on his feet. And let's kill the fatted calf because my son has returned and we're going to make merry. We're going to celebrate and have a great party to rejoice in this. So this is the story of the prodigal son. I'm just encapsulating. You can go back and read it. It's in Luke chapter 15. It's verse 11 through 32. So if you want to go read that for yourself, because I kind of broke it down, we're going to look at a little bit more now. So here the son returns. The son comes home. What I want you to notice is, did the father care if the son was dressed the right way? Was he speaking the right things? Was he motivated? Did he have the right motivation? Did the father give him a lecture and, you know, tell him all about the evils of prodigal living and how you shouldn't be out there partying all the time? Did he tell him you need to be responsible and you need to be... He didn't ask him, he didn't even wait for him to say why he had come home. He said, go bring the best robe. Put slippers on his feet and a ring on his finger. He's given him authority in that house. He didn't ask why he came. And he didn't lecture him. He just embraced him with love. He embraced him with love. This is the way God treats us when we come home. When we come to God, we are coming home. And that is the way God treats us. He doesn't give us the lecture. He doesn't wait for us to be dressed the right way or speaking the right way. He doesn't ask us what our motivation for coming was. He doesn't ask us those things. He's just glad that we are there. And now his love begins to work on us. That's what begins to transform us. His incredible love and forgiveness. When it begins to touch our hearts and our souls, it begins to transform and awaken us in an amazing way. And I believe this is what was happening here with the prodigal son. It was starting. Why did the prodigal son come? Did he come home for the right reasons? Did he come because he realized he had made a mistake? Did he realize he was living the wrong way and he wanted to do it better? Is that what motivated him to come home? Did he come home to say, I'm sorry, I was an idiot, what was I thinking? No, let's take a look and read closer how his mind is working here. Remember, he's out there, he's feeding the pigs, he's starving, and he says, And here's what he says. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? What's motivating him? He's hungry. He's starving. He's not motivated by thinking, gee, I really made a mistake. I was living the wrong way. I need to live better. That wasn't what brought him home. He wasn't going, oh, gee, I really need to apologize to my father. I was such an idiot. No, he's thinking, those servants over there are eating better than I am. They got all the food. And that's what brought him home. He came home because he thought, I can say that I'm one of the servants. I'll just be one of the servants, and I'll get fed like them. I'll tell my father, I'm not worried to be your son. I'll just be a servant. So he could get the food. So he could fill his belly. That's what brought him home. Did the father care? He didn't even wait to hear what he was going to say. He ran to see him, embraced him, and told the servants, let's celebrate. It's the same way when people come to church. God doesn't care what brings them. God doesn't care what their motivation is. And they come for all kinds of reasons. Some people come because it's a great place to meet single people. So they come to check out the single people and see who's there. That's their motivation for coming. Some people come because they've got a business and they find, wow, we can do a lot of networking here. We can make some good business contacts at the church. We can, you know, hand out cards and get more people to come over to my business. And pretty soon, if we can get in there, man, we're going to be doing good in our business. So that's what brings some people. Some people come because there's free snacks, cookies. Hey, great, let's get some free snacks, hang out. You know, I'm got nothing else to do. That's what I'm going to come for. It's the same way as the prodigal son, though. They might be coming for different reasons. Maybe there are some people I know, they're thinking, well, that's not coming to church for the right reasons. They need to come because they want to develop a relationship with God. I don't know. I've never met anybody that has come through the door and said to me, I'm here to develop a relationship with God. That's usually not what brings them. Usually they tell me, oh, something bad has happened in my life. Somebody passed away and I started thinking about death. And I thought, wow, maybe I should go to church. Or I've been living the wrong way and getting into all kinds of trouble and I want to straighten myself out and I didn't know what to do, so I thought maybe I should go to church. Maybe there was a bad accident that took place and they thought, oh man, I must be living wrong, God is punishing me, maybe I should go to church. None of them came to say, hey, I want to have a relationship with God. That's not what brought you here the first time. That wasn't what motivated you. But God isn't looking at that and saying, oh, well, can't have a relationship with them. They weren't motivated by the right thing. They're here for all the wrong reasons. They're not wearing the right clothes. Oh, they're not speaking the right way. They don't even want to live the right way yet. No, God doesn't care why they came home. Same way this father doesn't care why his son came home. God knows that his love and his spirit can begin to work on them and change them. He can begin to transform them in incredible ways. That's what God knows. And that's the way God begins to work with them. Bring people as they are. Bring them as they are. It doesn't matter how they're living. It doesn't matter what they're thinking. It doesn't matter what it is that motivated them to come here. Some people come for the entertainment. Get to hear a band. Hear some music. You know, that's what brings them. It's always something else that brings them. But once they're here, the Spirit of God can enter into them, and the love of God begins to affect them and change them from the inside. Begins to motivate them in amazing ways. I remember a few years ago, there was this lady that came to Golden Heart. And she didn't come saying, I wanted to develop a relationship with God. That's not why she was here. She came because her boyfriend came. Wherever her boyfriend went, she was going to go. Her boyfriend was going through a difficult time. He had fallen into some trouble, and he thought, I need to straighten this out. And he thought, oh, I'll come to church. So he came. And she just happened to come with him because she's there to support the boyfriend. She didn't care to be at church. She didn't want to develop a relationship with God. In fact, she even told us, I don't really believe in this whole God thing. I don't think there really, you know, I don't know what's the deal with it, but I don't think there is a God. I'm just here because he's here. Did that matter to God? Did that stop God from wanting to embrace her and have a relationship with her? No. We did a Bible study, and during the meditation period of that verses, meditating on those verses, God entered into her heart and spoke to her. And she felt this overwhelming feeling of love begin to well up inside of her. And then she shared this story with us of how great it felt and that there's something there. God spoke to me. And she was crying tears of joy. She didn't come to have a relationship with God. She came because the boyfriend came. But that didn't stop God from embracing her with love. He put a ring on her finger. He put a robe on her back. And he put slippers on her feet. She's a part of his family. She's royalty. When you wear a robe and a ring, you're royalty. You reign with God. And even though she came for maybe what some people consider the wrong reasons, God met her where she was. And he spoke into her heart, and his spirit transformed her. She was lifted up, and she suddenly knew something she didn't know before. She knew there was a God. She had that experience with him. That's amazing. It doesn't matter why they come. But I know there are people in your lives that are struggling. Whatever motivates them to get here, to have that relationship with God. Are they coming for the free snacks? I remember somebody coming, they didn't have any money for food, and they would come and fill up on some snacks when they were here. That was okay, because I knew maybe that's why God brought them. But God's going to get in there, into their heart, and he's going to start to change things. They might have come because of their stomach, same way this prodigal son came, but God's going to get in there and shift something. They might have come because there was some bad thing that happened in their life, and that's what brought them. That's okay. God's going to get in there. His love is going to enter into them and begin to change them. in amazing ways. If you've been a part of the Bible study with me that we're doing in Corinthians, you've heard me talk about how Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. And a lot of the Corinthians weren't joining that church because they wanted to develop a relationship with God. They weren't motivated by, hey, I want to be a part of that kind of life. I want to change my life. A lot of them were joining that church because they'd heard about spiritual powers. Spiritual powers that would allow you to raise the dead, heal the sick, speak in tongues, cast out demons. Woo! They heard about this and they said, hey, I want some of them powers. Excuse me. That's what brought them to the church. They came to the church to get some power. These were pretty cool powers to have. Speak in a foreign tongue, prophesy, heal the sick, cast out demons. Man, that's some cool stuff. That's like superhero stuff. And they wanted that. You know, this at the time, it's in Greece, Corinth. And at that time, it was mostly idol worshipers. So they were motivated to come because they heard about this power. But that's not where it ended, is it? Because God started to work on their hearts. He started to speak into their lives too and transform them and change them. You know, we don't come to God with the right attitude. We usually come by some selfish, motivated desire of our own, you know, that brings us or drives us forward. But that's okay. Because once God gets in, He begins to work to transform us. You know, guys, we are diamonds in the rough. I don't know if you've ever seen an uncut diamond. I don't even know if you'd recognize it was a diamond. Would you recognize it if you knew, if somebody told you? I would think it was just a rock. I'd probably pass it right by on the road if it was laying there. I wouldn't realize that that was a diamond. But yet, in the hands of an expert, somebody who knows, they recognize it for what it is. They recognize there's something incredibly and beautiful in that rock. Because to me, it would just look like a rock. But they see it for what it is. They see the beauty of it. And then that master craftsman cuts away the excess, cuts away the parts that to reveal inside this perfection, this brilliance, this brightness, glowing, shimmering so beautifully. The perfection was always there. The craftsman did not create the perfection. It was always within that rough stone. They just brought it forth. They brought it out. In the same way, there is perfection in you. And there's perfection in those people out there too that come. They are perfect. They are brilliant. They are amazing. We just need the master craftsman to cut away all that rough edges, all that excess, all those other things that are clouding and hiding the brilliance. The master craftsman is God, and He sees into you. He knows what you're made of. He recognizes it even when somebody else is going to pass you by on the road and see just another person. God sees you for who you are. God knows you're a diamond in the rough. And He doesn't care what brings you to Him. Once you're there before the master craftsman, His Spirit enters you. His love begins to transform you and change you. The rough edges are stripped away by the Holy Spirit, by the power of love. And your heart is turned and revealed to be brilliant. You are then revealed and unveiled by the master craftsman God, so He can see who you really, so everybody can see who you really are. Brilliant, special, incredible, glimmering, shining, perfect. Perfect. That perfection is inside of each and every one of you. It takes the master craftsman to strip it away. When we receive Jesus into our heart, that's when it begins. That's when it begins. We come as we are. No matter how we dress or how we speak or what motivated us. And then, when we receive Jesus, the Spirit of God goes to work and begins to strip away all the rough edges to reveal the perfection that is already inside of you. God created you to be brilliant, to be perfect, to be shining, glimmering, to be special, unique. He created you to be like that. He just wants the chance to bring out the best in you. He just wants the chance to see those people, no matter what state they're in, so that he can bring out their perfection. You know, it doesn't happen the other way around. It's not that we can get perfect and then come to God. The perfection only comes out when we let God in. When we let God into our hearts, then the perfection can come out. It's like the key to turning on that perfect perfection that's inside of us. We have like a machine that creates perfection within us. But it doesn't get turned on till we receive that key, which is Jesus. And then it gets turned on. And then things begin to be perfected in our hearts, in our minds, meaning we now have perfect thinking, perfect motivation, perfect lives. First, the other stuff has to be stripped away, but the key has to be put in first. We have to receive God in Jesus' name. Once that happens, all those things begin to change in incredible, incredible ways. It worked like this with the woman caught in the act of adultery. Remember this? Jesus was standing there and these Pharisees brought this woman caught in the very act of adultery. They said, "What are you going to do about this woman? She was caught in the act of adultery." You know, and he said to them, he said, because by the law, she should have been stoned and they were ready to stone her. And he said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Well, none of them were without sin, so they left. He was without sin. He could have cast the first stone. But he chose not to. He had compassion on her and he said, "No one has condemned you, then I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." This is an act of love. This is how the Spirit of God enters in. She wasn't judged. She wasn't punished. How is she going to change her ways if she's not punished, you might be thinking? She needed a, you know, good whipping at least. But that's not the way God works. God knows that doesn't change people. Gives them a sore hiney. But that doesn't change them. It's his love. See, there was an act of love right there by Jesus to this woman who, by all accounts, she probably wasn't even dressed. So talk about not being dressed appropriately. Since she was caught in the actual act, maybe they just dragged her right out of there. I'm sure she wasn't wearing the right clothes. She probably wasn't speaking the right things. She probably was scared out of her mind. So she probably was speaking a lot of, you know, stuff that you speak when you're afraid. Because she's thinking, "I'm dead. Stoning for sure." And yet what came instead wasn't punishment. It was love. Can you imagine how that changed her heart? How it changed her life? How it changed the way she saw the world? Because before that she thought, you do bad, you get bad. You get punished. There's got to be punishment. If I do something wrong, I'm going to be punished for it. And here, the high priest Jesus, the top guy in the whole land, he said, "Go and sin no more." There was forgiveness. And she received that love. I know when she walked away, I believe she was transformed right there. That she now wanted to. And that love was moving her forward. The perfection that was already inside of her had been turned on. It wasn't turned on before. It was all the external stuff that was driving her and moving her. And now Jesus put the key in and turned on perfection so that her true brilliance, that diamond, could come out that was always inside of her. Jesus is that key that turns on that perfection that's within each and every single one of us. It doesn't matter whether they're committing adultery. It doesn't matter whether they're murdering or lying or stealing or cheating. It doesn't matter how bad you think the crime is. There is a chance and an opportunity for the perfection that is within them to be turned on and all that rough stuff to be stripped away so that they can stand in the brilliance of the way they were created. The man that had the prodigal son, he didn't care why he came home. He gave him a robe and a ring on his finger so he could reign in that household. God doesn't care what brings us to Him. His love will step in there and He'll turn that key in Jesus' name and He'll transform you. Bring people as they are and watch God work miracles. When you can receive the understanding that God just wants to receive them and love them, it doesn't matter where they are or what they've done or who they are. It doesn't matter where you have come from or what you've done. Jesus will enter into your heart and change you, transform you, and raise you up, take you to a new level. God meets us where we are, and then He lifts us up to a higher level. He'll lift those people up. He'll lift you up. He'll take us all somewhere we never dreamed of being. But He always knew that's what we were capable of. He always knows because He created us. And He knows the perfection that's inside of us. Just like that diamond was hiding in that rock. There is perfection hiding inside of each and every one of us. And it is revealed when we meet God and let Him into our hearts. Today is the day, people, to meet God. Let Him into your hearts. And to know that no matter where somebody is out there in the world, bring them to God. Doesn't matter what motivates them to come. God will work on them. His Spirit will change them. And He will move them to a higher level. And that's when it happens. Just like the woman caught in the act of adultery. It was the act of love that transformed. That's what brought out the perfection, not the punishment. We don't want to get caught up in that there needs to be the punishment. We got to remember that there's forgiveness, there is grace by God. And that's what changes people. His love transforms them. And when they understand that, then they're not afraid to come to God. They're excited to come to God. Because they want to have a good life. Who doesn't want to have a good life? Who doesn't want to have a perfect life, a miraculous life, a life of happiness, a life of joy, a life of miracles and wonders? Who doesn't want to have powers to speak in tongues and prophesy? Of course, we all want to have that great life. And it's there for all of us, no matter where we are. Come as you are. Bring your friends as they are, and they will be transformed in Jesus' name.